that Thanksgiving as a Thanksgiving service, and it was great to hear everybody on the things that we're thankful for. And a wise man once said, if God didn't want the leaves on the ground, he would have kept them on the trees. Karen, do you know who that wise man was? Roger, yeah. So Roger told me that. I said, oh, Roger, that's great. You need to send that to me. And then so it took me to some leaf jokes. What did the boy leaf say to the girl leaf? I'm falling for you. Yeah. And it's funny that my son knows. So then the girl leaf said, I'm a very poplar leaf. Do you have a good job to provide? And the boy leaf said, I can really rake it in. Those are the couple quick jokes this morning. So, but someone did tell me when I was talking that the oak leaves are the last ones to fall. And like poplars are usually the first ones to go. And in August, I always see the poplar leaves dropping. And I'm like, oh, fall's coming. We're going to be looking at this morning, and we're trying to get a bunch of stuff done, and there was so much information. I wanted to pull out some good stuff on Thanksgiving, and I got into the history of Thanksgiving, and I got into the history of the pilgrims, and there was so, I was like, I can't get all this done in one service, so I'm just trying to keep it short and sweet, but really hitting the point of Thanksgiving. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter this morning, too. 9 through 11. Let's open in prayer and then we'll hit that quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our nation. We thank you for just the founders that we know through our history that our country was set and built on biblical principles. We thank you for those men, Lord. We thank you and we ask that our nation will continue and not lose track of how we were founded. Help us to be voices that continue to speak the truth of what our nation was founded on. Give us that strength. In your name we pray. Amen. Message for today title is called Pilgrim's Day of Thanksgiving. So as we had Thanksgiving and came together on, well, many of us came together with family or friends or if you watched maybe some Hallmark shows with the people on TV, they all have turkeys and pumpkin pie, and I love pumpkin pie. It's my favorite pie. And actually last Thanksgiving, I was horrified because no one brought pumpkin pie. I was like, and I made a big deal of it, you know, I'm kidding around. So this year there's like 20 pumpkin pies. So I was loving life. There's a lot of pies. But okay, so the English term for pilgrim. Pilgrim, the originally comes from Latin and it means a foreigner, a stranger, someone on a journey or a temporary residency, like temporary. The pilgrims took their name from the Geneva Bible. And we're going to read out of the Geneva Bible this morning, the version from 1599. For 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11, from the version of the Geneva Bible, it says this. But ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people set at liberty, that ye should show forth the virtues of him, of God, that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, yet are now the people of God, which in time past were not under mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 11, this is the concentration. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, absent from fleshly lusts which fight against the soul. The pilgrims, taken from the Geneva Bible, they knew who they were, that they wanted to be separated from the world. They wanted to not totally out of the world, right? Not like, hey, we live in this world, but they wanted to be away from the lusts and the desires of our flesh, which they knew, because Scripture tells us that we battle with all the time. So the pilgrims were separatists that wanted to leave, and they wanted to worship God as they saw fit and take their families to worship. And so, which we know, and it's hard now, because as I started pulling across all the information on the pilgrims, I'll tell you what, a lot of the information out there totally is so new. There's no mention of the pilgrims and their love for God, the pilgrims and their willingness and want to spread the gospel. That's one of the reasons they came to the new world, right? And I was in my tree stand yesterday, I was thinking, this isn't really a new world. It was just across the ocean, but to them, it was a new world, right? It's the same world, but it was a new frontier. And the pilgrims came with the desire to spread the gospel to other people, and also to leave and worship freely the God that they loved and wanted to worship. And that's the beginning of the pilgrims in Massachusetts. We know that they left on the Mayflower, and that they were trying to get to the Jamestown settlement, but they ended up in New England, right? So the pilgrims' goal is to worship freely and spread the gospel to others. And the American story of Thanksgiving was not just there, but that's the one we concentrate on, right? The pilgrims. That's what we concentrate on, the pilgrims and the worship there that took place between the pilgrims and the American Indians. But in 1565, the Spaniards and the French also started Thanksgiving in Florida. So there's Thanksgiving taking place in Florida, and it was the same thing, a concentration of a church service, being thankful to God. In 1610, at Jamestown, they also celebrated Thanksgiving. It wasn't until 1621 or 1623, those couple of years, that the pilgrims had with the Indians this time of a Thanksgiving feast that we kind of look back on, we remember in school. But those things right there in American history being taught, and you find and you look, they're totally taking God out of the picture. All across, our students are finding that, hey, yeah, Thanksgiving, we're here to feast. We're here to be thankful to who? We're just to be thankful, and it's about feasting and about sports. That's what you read about. There's no mention right now on many places about God with Thanksgiving. That, and our founders, going even back to the Spaniards and the French in Florida, that they were being thankful to God. And that's the foundation of Thanksgiving Day. And it was a time where the pilgrims, and there was less than 50 pilgrims that survived. And when they came together with the Indians, there was an Indian. And this is all documented. There's a book called Mount's Relations, and it's a journal about when the pilgrims, since they came off the Mayflower, and that first couple years of, and how they developed and who they became friends with and how they had battles and everything else. It's all documented in this documentation, which is actually found in the U.S. Congress and the libraries in the U.S. of a history. But there's an Indian called Squanto. Do you ever remember the Squanto? So Squanto, this is what I wanted to kind of pull out. Squanto was an Indian, and which we all know the history of America, and sometimes, which we all know, there's good history and there's bad history, because everywhere you go, there's good people and there's bad people. So am I saying that the United States never had the slave trade? Absolutely not. We know we did. Did Was there good people that were trying to break the slave trade? Absolutely. I mean, that's the world. That's where we're at. So Squanto was an Indian in the region of Massachusetts, the New England area, that was taken before the Pilgrims ever set sail, before the Pilgrims ever decided to come. But 6 years before the Pilgrims arrived, Squanto was taken by a slave trader that came up from the south and stole and kidnapped 27 Indians. So the Indians then went off and they took them back, I believe to Spain, but I don't want to say that. But I read it. I have so much information in my head after reading all the history. I'm going to get it right. So Squanto, after he was taken, there was our Catholic brothers at the time. They saw what was taking place. And they went in and said, because there was a group of friars was watching this taking, and there was a group of Catholics that would go in and purchase slaves and set them free. That's pretty awesome. So Squanto was purchased, and then he was taken to England, and he learned English. He learned all the ways of England, and he could communicate. And then he came back to his homeland, and he lived with another Indian tribe in Massachusetts, because his tribe died from a disease and he was the only one left. And so he actually was adopted by another Indian tribe. So when the Pilgrims arrived, this man Squanto, many believe that he was divine providence. He was set there kind of like Joseph, right? When you hear the story, he's taken and then back, and that this Indian was set apart for this purpose to help the Pilgrims to establish their lifestyle, to learn how to live off the land and to survive winters with nothing. And Squanto, this Indian, you would think he would have been a bitter man taken from his home, right? Kidnapped, but he wasn't. He was introduced to Christianity. Here's his story. I'm going to read this quick. The backstory of Squanto is a fascinating as it is interesting. In 1614, six years before the Pilgrims arrived, Captain Thomas Hunt's ship was among a group of vessels exploring New England. When the other ships departed, Hunt remained behind with his crew and kidnapped 27 Indians, one of whom was Squanto. He took them to Spain and began selling them as slaves. Some Catholic friars learned what was happening and intervened to purchase Squanto and the remaining Indians. They freed these Indians and introduced them to Christianity. At the time, the Catholics had a number of societies that worked to free slaves. From Spain, Squanto worked his way to England, where he remained 5 years, learning the English language and the customs. In 1619, he returned to New England. On his arrival, Squanto discovered that the plague had killed his entire tribe. So that's kind of his story. So you would think this Indian would have been bitter, would have hated the English people. But he saw, so I don't have the story if Squanto became a believer, but it almost sounds like when he was introduced to Christianity, from what you see, that it almost sounds like he did become a Christian and he helped these people, because it wasn't about him. His life after this, before he passed, was he was helping these pilgrims. And what we know of after Squanto's helping the pilgrims, after many of the pilgrims died, what we hear today is that the Indians, that the pilgrims were always attacking the Indians and we wanted to kill them and we were raiding their land. But the fact is, when you go through all the documentation, the pilgrims, there was 22, maybe 22 adult pilgrims that remained, and the rest were children. And there was 4 women. And there was 90 of the 90 warriors of the Indian tribe. So they could easily wiped out the pilgrims, but they came together. Thanksgiving Day, that we have this feast, and they came together. Why? Well, the pilgrims were so excited that they had such a great harvest, learned by the Indians, helped by the Indians, working together, and they wanted to come together and have a day of thanksgiving and praise God. So the pilgrims were out shooting their weapons, and the Indians heard what was going on and came to see if they were being attacked or what. And they saw they were having a celebration. So they invited the Indians with them. And for 3 days, 90 warriors and the Indian king came together. And they had Thanksgiving with each other. Just a celebration and a feast. They didn't have pumpkin pie. There was no sugar at the time. And those types of things. But they had a lot of meat, birds and venison. And what's on the picture of our bulletin. So like. Mine goes back there. So that's the story of what happened. So these pilgrims that left England from the Geneva Bible, taking their name, if they wanted to be set apart to what? To preach and promote and move the gospel forward in the new land. And they met the Indian tribes. And what we know, documented in history, that the Indians and the pilgrims worked together, had this day of Thanksgiving, not just to feast, not just to play sports and shoot guns, which they did, but they came together to what? To thank God for the provisions that God supplied, to thank God for the rain that he supplied for the crops to grow. And I'm sure those pilgrims thanked God for the Indians. Because otherwise, the pilgrims would all been dead. They would have came to this land in winter and never have survived, because only half of them had survived as it was. So, that's what we know from the first Thanksgiving. And many times, like when I was a student growing up, that's the story I heard. Today, the story, there's no reference anymore of God. The referencing of the whites hated the Indians hated the white man. That wasn't true at the time. The Indians could have taken those people out in a heartbeat, those warriors. They came together in Thanksgiving, worshiping God together. That's pretty amazing. And when you find Squanto, a man who was kidnapped, and then turning to help these same, even though they weren't the same people that kidnapped them, they were still the white man, right? He didn't hate them. Christianity and Christ's love must have, and I'm really assuming this, I cannot say. But when you read it, that something in this man, which I assume was a transformation of Christ in his life, helped him to reach out and help people. What are we thankful for today? We heard it. We're thankful for many things. Family, friends, the Holy Spirit working in our life, our church. We're thankful for that. But what we need to continue to promote as people and as a church is we need to be a nation that goes back and holds to the ideals of what our founding fathers, the pilgrims that were in Massachusetts, that was their ideal, is to be separated from the world, in the world, but not of the world. We need to, as people, continue to promote and speak the truth of the gospel. Thanksgiving, so as we pass Thanksgiving and we move into Christmas, now we're thankful for what? We're thankful for the Savior who has given to us that we all can have salvation. Just like the pilgrims found salvation, just like the Indians found salvation. I'm assuming that's not based in history. I'm assuming some of that. But we do know that the pilgrims sent missionaries into the Indian nations. And we do know many Indians became believers and followers of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we're going to come together and have communion together. And I'd really love to have communion when we kind of walk up to the front and you can have some time in your mind, just you and the Lord. But this, we're going to do that in December. Today we're going to pass the plates. We're going to serve together. But this Thanksgiving, as we have communion, I really want you to think about, because so many times when we take communion, it's just we take the cup, we take the bread, and we move on our way. I know I do that sometimes when you're rushing. I really just want to step back, and as you hold the bread in your hand, think about Christ's body on that cross, because he didn't have to die for us, which we know. But think about his body. Be thankful for his body. Be thankful that God sent him for us. When we take the cup, which we know that's his blood that was spilt for us, the new covenant was in his blood. That blood, when you take that and you look at it, and you look at the juice, the wine, whatever you want to call it, when you look at it, think about Christ's blood that was spilled for us. Why? So that we simply can have salvation. So that God's love through his Son, through this horrible persecuted death from our Savior, was simply so we could have forgiveness of our sins, so we can spend eternity with God. Guys, come on up. I'm going to read.